My name is Joe DiBiase. This is our second attempt at this podcast.
And my name's Jordan Hanskin, and I was playing, while we were dealing with technical issues, I was playing MLB 13 The Show, because I'm too cheap to get a newer version.
Is that the reason, or is MLB 13 The Show like some class version of the baseball video game?
I like the gameplay a lot. Me and my brother used to play it a ton. Like, we would have a fantasy draft team, and like, the game's super easy to hit when like when you're playing against somebody, so we just have these like barn burners where it's like 13 to 12 every time.
I have only owned one baseball video game in my entire life, and that is MVP Baseball 2005,
which is, I think that's the cult classic one. That's the one that everybody says the best.
I think I got lucky with that, though, because I was not a baseball fan and I never had baseball video games, but that was the one I just had because, I don't know, like, that was the cheap one that I got one year. And it turned out right to be kind of like a legendary sports video game. That's kind of been lost. Like, the EA Sports, man, like, Madden came out today with some of their new features, and like, they were getting torched. And
they turned franchise mode into a patch.
What does they that just mean?
I don't know. It just sounds bad.
That does sound bad. I don't like that.
I'm sure a more educated gamer would be able to explain it better, but it sounds like they're like or they're doing like paywall stuff, and I know Ultimate Team, it's just a cash grab, to be honest.
No, right.
You
it's all
you can't really compete exactly nationally.
Right. They're trying to
spend money.
They're trying to steer you towards microtransactions, and that's how they think that they're going to get extra money out of you, squeeze extra money out of you. And that has basically swarmed the entire games. And that's kind of what's happened with NHL, too. The NHL video game hasn't had, like, a serious gameplay or, like, big major development in maybe 6-7 years now. The video games of the last 10 years have been pretty disappointing through and through. FIFA continues to keep going, I think, but even they are having
they have their Ultimate Team phase. They kind of ruined. I don't understand EA Sports with these like story modes where like it's like a movie. Like if I wanted to watch a movie, I'd watch a movie.
Right.
I want like the Be a Pro to be like, I just create my guy and then just, you know, like keep it simple and let like imagine it. Like I was imagining like as a kid, like I remember when I would play the game, like I would create my player and like my imagination would fill in the story. Like I don't need the story to be told to me and feature like Haley Joel Osment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need actors in my story.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yep. I'm on board with that. I think they're getting too cute with some of the stuff, and just I'm not in a good place with some of the video games that have come out, and NHL is at the front of the line for me. We've got the Dominic Hasek trade to look back to on in today's podcast. 20 years ago today, we're recording this on Tuesday night. So June 30th, 20 years ago, the Buffalo Sabres moved on from Dominic Hasek. We've also got the Star Wars franchise with Disney coming out with some news that I figured we'd touch upon, which I think is kind of funny. But I think we got to start with this news item that John Warrow of the AP tweeted out late on Tuesday afternoon. More mixed messaging from PSE, Pegula Sports and Entertainment. Understand there's now some unhappiness over all the dead money contracts suddenly on the Sabres books. And this coincides with what came out on Monday. Tim Graham of The Athletic reported that the PSE has fired their VP of Finance and Business Administration, Chuck Matina. And that's not a big move on the ice or like in the front office for the Sabres, but that's a big move internally for their organization. So I don't know that those two things are tied together, but like any of a moves like that could be tied together. And to me, suddenly seems to be the sticking point here. Like the word suddenly.
Yeah, suddenly is the key because it makes you wonder, like, did they not know that there were contracts that were going longer that were part of this purge? Because if that's the case, that's a bit of a And that's why this other firing happened. Maybe like he was supposed to let them know that. I don't understand anything that's going on behind closed doors in that office right now. I am so flabbergasted that they are like every news story is like a bombardment to my senses. I have no idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. And like it shows like up and down the organization that they're, you know, they fired the AHL coach who was actually one of the bright spots in the organization.
Yep.
And they did it like so coldly. They just gutted the scouting department because, oh, we have it all done already. So we'll just wait 6 months until the draft and then we'll like rebuild our scouting department. So save 6 months of salary. They sound cheap. They sound disorganized.
Yeah.
And like one of the owners is the president of the team. So it ultimately falls on you again. You can't say, oh, we were, you know, not focused on it. You should be focused on it. That's your job title. I'm at a loss with the organization.
I just you know it can't mean the players. I hope it doesn't mean the players, because if they're talking about Christian Ehrhoff, Ville Leino, and Cody Hodson, that the Pegulas suddenly just discovered that these three individuals have been paid by the Sabres for years and have years to go on their buyout history. Ville Leino is actually coming up, but Ehrhoff and Hodson got years left. Hodson gets a check for $791,000 every year from the Buffalo Sabres, and that started in 2015. It goes through 2023, so there's 3 years left of that. Christian Ehrhoff, who famously signed that 10-year contract, he's been gone from the Sabres for 6 years now, since 2014, and he gets a check from the Sabres from $857,000 every year till 2028. So you've got 8 years to go on that. Leno had 6 years on his buyout. That just finally ended for them. And we know that there's some of this in the football side of things too, where they were paying Rex Ryan for a long time after he was fired. I think they still are paying Rex Ryan actually too, because his contract was so long when they signed it. Then Doug Whaley was being paid and Tim Murray was being paid back on the hockey. Like, there's so many fired individuals that have had dead money on their contracts. And I wonder, and I wondered this when the purge happened last week, was or 2 weeks ago, whatever that was now, are these people not going to have to be paid a percentage of what their contract said? Because it's hard for me to believe they can just cold cut the entire hockey department without any cap, not cap ramifications, but any type of severance or any type of financial ramifications for doing that. So it's funny to me also, by the way, that all of this is happening, and there's all of this. There's always been this reputation with the Pegulas that they fire people too quick. And now it feels to me like they're paying for it financially and they're upset about it. But like, you kind of dug your own hole on this one, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you do wonder if maybe it's out of context.
Yeah. Like
maybe they're just mad that of the ineptitude of the organization. This is probably the most likely, because I don't think they're stupid people. I think that maybe they're inexperienced and I don't know, like too trigger happy with a lot of their decisions. Like maybe they're a bit impulsive. I mean, I guess not maybe, it's definitely they're very impulsive. But I don't think they're dumb. And I think that they would have realized that this is a possibility with firing all these people. So I'm starting to think that maybe it's just kind of like a point of like, I'm tired of having to fire inept people early because they don't do their job right. And even then, though, that still falls on them because they just hire bad people.
Mm-hmm.
I think these problems are their problems. They created all these problems.
This comes on the eve, by the way, of a very famous day in the sports world, and that is Bobby Bonilla Day, where the New York Mets will pay Bobby Bonilla, their former third baseman, who has not stepped foot on their baseball diamond since 2001. They will hand him a check for $1.2 million every year through 2035. isn't that amazing? Like, yeah, Ehrhoff is a long time, and even Hodson ended up being a long time, but but you will never beat the New York Mets. Just know that. At least the Sabres aren't the New York Mets. Maybe we can say that. Because Bobby Bonilla is 57 years old, and they're still paying him. So there's that. And we are going to take a second here before we get into the Dominic Hasek trade. That's the big thing I want to focus on today's episode, because it's maybe one of the most important trades. It's one of the worst trades, but it's one of the most important trades in Sabre history. And it's been 20 years now since that happened. But first, I want to take a minute to tell you about rockauto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet if you need it. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Joe DiBiase, Jordan Hanskin, back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. When I say worst trades in franchise history to you, what are like the first couple that come to mind for you?
Well, Hasek for sure. I know we're going to get into it more. O'Reilly. And then let me get a few of the Murray zingers off my head here. Kane, Leonard.
Come on.
No, I mean, it's an unproven goalie for a first. You could have gotten like a starter for that. I know Leonard's good. I know, but at the time, it was wild.
That's right.
Pesek, McNabb. McNabb 2 seconds for Fashing and Delorier is a wild one.
This became just the Tim Murray roast.
I mean, it's warranted. But yeah, those are the ones that come to mind. I'm trying to think. I mean, you know probably the older ones more than I do. You're more of a Sabres historian than I am.
But I think a lot of the bad ones are more recent. I mean, that we actually talked about this one, I think, on the podcast about a month ago. But trading Dave Andrechuk for Grant Fuhr was like epically bad.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
The all-time leader in power play goals for a shot goaltender who lost his job like within a year to the best goalie of all time, who you had, by the way, waiting in the wings. You just hadn't realized it yet. Yeah, that one was pretty bad. But no, like you hit on, I think, the big ones. O'Reilly is the one, and we'll spend some time with that maybe tomorrow or later in the week, because Wednesday is the anniversary of Ryan O'Reilly being traded. Ugh. We got a couple sweet anniversaries back to back here. But Hasek, is there a debate that it's the worst trade of all time? Because there are other factors to the Dominic Hasek trade that were not quite as prevalent in the O'Reilly trade, for instance, if we're just going to compare those two, where Hasek was demanding a trade out. Like, O'Reilly maybe was hinting at a trade wanting out, but even there's actually conflicting thoughts on that. I know I saw Mike Harrington, the Buffalo News, a couple weeks ago tweet that O'Reilly's father has told him repeatedly that Ryan O'Reilly did not want out of Buffalo. He did not want to leave, and he was not happy with the trade when it happened, because he's so close to his family when he's living here in Buffalo. So maybe he didn't want to trade. Hasek wanted a trade. Hasek wanted out. And the return just what it ended up being. Vyacheslav Kozlov, who was a good player, and he went on to have 70-plus point seasons with the Atlanta Thrashers, but he just did not want to be here whatsoever. So you basically got nothing out of that. The first-round pick in 2002 doesn't really turn into anything. I think you flip that down the road in another trade that gets them Danny Pae, who's like just a third, fourth liner who you didn't even really play all that long here either. And then future considerations, which weren't even exercised. That was given up for Hasek. Now, on the defense, Hasek's 36 years old when you make this trade. But, like, you'll remember this. Like, Hasek was still playing super well, like, 5-6 years later for Ottawa. And, like, he was 36, but he had years left. So, all in all, I think that there is a case that this is the worst trade in Sabre history.
Yeah, I mean, you traded the best goalie of all time. And no matter what, no matter what you get back, the value is not coming back in equal fashion. You're just not getting the same. And you ended up getting a guy. I hate when the Sabres do this. I feel like they're the ones that do it the most of like all the teams I like, is they trade for people that don't want to be in Buffalo. I don't understand why that happens often. Mm-hmm. Or maybe more often than maybe. I mean, who else? What else happened? It was Kotalik. Oh no, they wanted to send Kotalik to Rochester. That's
right. Yeah, that was it.
But that was like,
no, but Rusty Klesla was a guy.
Rostislav Klesla, yeah. Yep. He had no interest in being a Buffalo. I mean, we had Nathan Beaulieu. Was that a trade?
That was a trade. He
to hate Buffalo, I guess.
Yeah, he maybe wasn't right off the bat, but no, yeah. You're right. Like, there are certainly examples of that happening all over the place. But also, you're trading away guys that are unhappy with their situation. And I made this point actually with Eichel last week with you, that Hasek and maybe O'Reilly to a lesser extent now, because it seems that maybe he didn't want out. But let's use Hasek here. How does it go when the guy wants out, the superstar wants out? And maybe he is a tale of you don't have to move the guy even if he wants out.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can look at other sports, of course, too, where it kind of does work out for the team to trade the star. I mean, maybe not. I mean, the Pelicans got a massive haul for Anthony Davis, a guy that did demand trade for like years.
Yeah, it was forever that he wanted.
But yeah, like I feel like they're, but that I feel is rare. It's more likely that you end up on the Hasek side where everything you get is just like pennies on the dollar because you're trading an asset that you know you have no leverage with. The Hasek situation seemed untenable. Like there is no way. There is no way. There is a lot of, you know, rumors floating in the mix there too. He just had no interest in being in Buffalo for one more minute. And he was the type of guy that too would be like, I'll refuse to play. Like I won't play.
And yeah.
The Sabres really had no chance with that.
Yeah, that's right. And one other thing that I think we should definitely toss in here. I actually heard this from Bulldog at WGR today. It's something I'd never heard before. And he says he's never had a confirmed source tell him this, not like a super reputable guy, but there have been whispers over the years that Hasek actually nixed what the original trade was going to be, sending him to Detroit, and that there was whispers that Sergei Fedorov was going to be the player coming back to Buffalo, not Vyacheslav Kozlov, but Hasek didn't want to go to Detroit if Fedorov wasn't going to be there. And like, how does that sound to you just hearing that for the first time?
Horrible. That's awful. That's just cruel. That's like when LeBron makes sure that he never gets traded. LeBron only wants to go in free agency because he's like, I'm not taking the good players from that team. I want him on my team.
Right.
Oh God. Makes me like Hasek less.
Like, yeah, I know.
I love Hasek.
Yeah. But
it's like that's just cold blooded, man. Just let us have a good player back.
I know. And that kind of maybe reignites some of the feelings that like we kind of grew up in, because we were too young to remember Hasek as like the superstar goaltender, like the best goalie of all time. When I was growing up, what did you hear about Dominic Hasek? It was, amazing saves.
Whiny.
But wait, whiny and demanded the trade out and, you know, spoiled, and now he's in Detroit, and just like it was all negative, and it was all criticism towards him, and it was basically hatred towards Hasek. And I think like when you grow up with that as a Sabre fan, then, you know, like that's all you know for a while. And for us, I've grown to appreciate Hasek, of course, much more over the years. Like, I think you're crazy at this point if you don't think he's the best goaltender in NHL history. But for the first, you know, 10, 15 years being a Sabre fan for me, like, it was what you just basically, like, whatever noise you made when I just said the name Sergei Fedorov, it was like, oh, this guy just sucks. He's just the worst.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, we're going to talk about O'Reilly later in the week.
Yeah.
But the parallels there are kind of stunning. Like, what's the first word that Sabres fans had for O'Reilly? That like brief period of time where he was at his most miserable, whiny, you know, you haven't earned anything, you know, what all this stuff. It's very similar to Hasek.
Yeah, you're right.
And then he finds success, I mean, later. Yeah, it's interesting. It is definitely interesting.
Yeah, and Hasek goes on to have, again, I said it earlier, he was 36 when they traded him, but he plays the next year, wins the Stanley Cup with the Detroit Red Wings. Then he sits out a year. I think there was injuries, though, that caused that to happen. I don't think he just sat out for no reason. And then 05-06, fast forward a little bit, at age 41 with the Ottawa Senators, he finishes second in the NHL in save percentage. And the Sabres, who win that series against the Senators with Ray Emery in net, I've said this before, but I think the Sabres don't win that series if Hasek is their goaltender. And then he has another good year in Detroit, and then he serves as the backup for them for one final year before he rides off in the sunset as a Stanley Cup champion as their backup at age 43. So he had a nice career after Buffalo, but if you look at the numbers, like, there was a decline. There was a decline. He went from – he won the Vezina in his final season as the Sabres netminder. He was not the best goalie in hockey really ever. I guess, again, Ottawa, maybe he was close. But in a way, they traded him at the right time, and that his decline was just about to start. But you didn't get anything for him. Kozlov, I can't believe you got a guy that was that good and just you like didn't know that he didn't want any part of coming here. Like, how about you check with the guy before he comes in?
I am pretty fascinated by Vyacheslav Kozlov just being like, Buffalo, no way.
Yeah.
Like, why? I don't understand. I mean, it's not that bad.
His numbers weren't bad. 22 points in 38 games. Like, I've seen worse.
I would not have thought of Vyacheslav Kozlov either as like an Atlanta guy. Like, yeah.
No,
The ATL, yeah. Man.
He's like, "Give me to Atlanta. That's where I want to be." That's right.
Probably liked big city. Probably liked I don't know. Sunshine, I guess.
Yeah.
Sounds nice.
All right, before we get out of here for the day, I thought I had to bring this up, especially with you. I haven't talked about this with you off air yet, so I thought it was why not just bring it up on the podcast? But there's a rumor circulating around the internet that Disney may erase the three Star Wars sequel movies and reset the Star Wars universe. And before I even get into any more details, on the surface, what does that sound like to you? Like, well, how does that sit with you that they would just reset the Star Wars universe and ignore things that they've already been made?
I don't understand how it works. It's the same thing that we were talking about with the Pagulas. I don't understand how you can do that. Do you take all the videos away from everybody? Take all the DVDs away?
Well,
we have that information. Yeah. Like, I didn't hate them. They were fine. You know,
I thought they were bad. I thought the last one was bad.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it was a kind of a slog, but I don't know. Like, I don't have super high Star Wars expectations. Mm. Like, they're not that good of movies. When you in the end all be all, they're supposed to be fun and entertaining, and they're like made for kids and adults. Mm. Like, I know Pixar's kind of nailed that formula, where we can make this for kids and adults, and it can still be good. But like, I don't know. I don't hold movies like that to a super high standard. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't care that they weren't but they weren't exactly what Disney wanted.
Yeah.
But they're fine. Like, I have no problem with the ending. Like, it's whatever. Like, just make me another trilogy later.
Yeah. I'll read this though from, and I agree with that, but there's more to it in that I'll read from this is stemming from a blurb of a popular YouTube channel, the Doomcock Overload DVD channel. Doomcock.
What a plug.
I know, right? I've never heard of it, but he's got like a ton of subscribers. And Newsweek thought he was respectable enough to put it in here. But Doomcock said that he has heard, I don't know if this guy's legit, so maybe he's not plugged into Hollywood, but maybe he is. He's got a lot of subscribers. Maybe that's all it takes these days. He says that a so-called civil war is going on right now between George Lucas, the original creator of Star Wars, and the production company's president, Kathleen Kennedy, who is currently oversaw The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, and The Rise of Skywalker. And that George Lucas wants those movies to be removed from the canon, isolated in their own alternate timeline, and regarded as an Elseworlds-like installment under the label of Star Wars Legends. So okay. I think it's more that George Lucas just wants the next three with, and maybe this is because he wants to use something with Luke Skywalker or whatever, but he's pushing for those movies to just be thrown out because he thinks he can do better, is the way I'm reading it.
Yeah, okay. It makes a lot more sense now, because I did hear stuff like this where Lucas was upset with the latest three movies. It was a disaster in terms of like Disney just management.
Yeah.
Like they had like Abrams did the first one. Then they had Rian Johnson do the second one. They like gave him free reign over it, and he made it something that was totally different than what everybody else wanted. Or totally different than, you know, he made it his own thing.
Yep.
And I honestly like the second one. I thought it was, there was
the second cool. one was good. The second one I thought was good.
It was like, yeah. It was like a lot of the main Star Wars nerds didn't like it because it didn't fulfill what they wanted it to be, but it was fine. It was good. And then Abrams came back in the third one. He just butchered everything Rian Johnson
did. It was a travesty.
And he went back and it's like, what's going on here? What are we looking for? A wayfinder? What is that? I have no idea what that is. And it's oh, Palps is back? Oh, great. I can't wait for this.
And now they're saying Palpatine wasn't alive in the last movie. Like, nobody understood. It was understood. A clone
of Palpatine.
It was a clone, but they didn't explain that, like, in the movie.
Those things aren't cool. When you do the weird science thing to, like, after the fact, that's not cool. You have to ingrain it in the middle. Like, watch an M. Night Shyamalan movie and learn what, a twist is. Like, you can't just do it after and be like, oh, yeah, he was a clone.
He was a clone.
What? Hey, stupids. Hey, stupid people. You don't get it. He was a clone. No, I would love to see what Lucas could do. I mean, obviously, the problem is, Carrie Fisher died. Like, I mean, you can't really do the Leia thing anymore.
I know.
It's sad. Like, they made these movies and put her in it, and it's sad that they're not as good as what they could have been.
If some original author / creator is going to come back and fix a right or wrong, then I'm down for Game of Thrones to do that with George R.R. Martin before we get into George Lucas.
That's another fun. If the characters come back and be like, the ending
is
stupid.
If we could redo, I would redo season 8 of Game of Thrones 10,000 times before I would redo the last three Star Wars movies. That would
season
be
season 7 goal. Too. Like, season 7 had some cool moments, but it could also use an overhaul.
Well, season 7 also was just setting up season 8, and then when season 8 was a joke, like, right, season 7 is going to be awful.
Apparently, the problem was the creators thought they were going to do the next Star Wars, but they got pulled from.
Nice.
Pulled from that. So they're speeding up the final two seasons of Thrones.
Yeah.
And insane. they just hated the magic. And like the final two seasons, like, sorry, you're gonna have to deal with a lot of the magic involved. And they didn't understand it. They weren't interested. Right. Like, think about it. Who are the characters that like most people like couldn't like got annoyed with the most? Bran, who's the most magical. Like John a bit, like, I mean, I know he's like the hero and stuff, but there was a lot of like magic involved with him and Daenerys, and they just like ignored it. Like, right. Threw it away because they didn't want to deal with it.
It was the White Walker season. Like, it's finally the season where they show up. This has to be the season where there's magic. And because
it was just like, oh, we killed him.
It's over. Just insane. One episode, it was all over.
Yeah.
All right.
Unbelievable.
All right, Dominic Hasek signing bonuses, the Pagulas, Star Wars, Game of Thrones. It's been an eventful episode of our podcast here. We will next on our next episode talk about the Ryan O'Reilly trade. I know, good fun for everybody, so come back for that. And hopefully by the end of the week, now that things have settled down a little bit with the Sabres, we can reschedule our Game of Thrones draft that we were planning to do here on the podcast. We'll have more details on that to follow. Thanks everybody for listening. Follow me on Twitter at SneakyJoeWGR. You can catch Jordan on Twitter at JR Hanskin. This has been the Locked On Sabres podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.